TalkingTrading.com.au is your weekly fix podcast of share market expert interviews. Our team of experts will help you make the right decisions about what, when, and where to trade. Let's get cracking.
Hi, and welcome to this week's show. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have your company during the coldest part of winter. How do you spring back from being smashed? We talked to franchise business expert Brian Keane today on how to pick yourself up and keep fighting when the going gets tough. He tells us his tale of resilience and what led him to uncover the self-sabotage which plagued his business success. Queen of Candlesticks, Louise Bedford, tells us how to keep our heads in trading whilst we're parenting. And mentoree Coral Taylor tells us about her progress in the mentor program at the midpoint meeting. We also find out how women's fashion is directly affected by the markets. And we also have some special report tips. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 27th of June with economist and Sky Business News commentator Jonathan Barrett, just before he hit the moguls on the ski fields of Falls Creek. Hi, Jono.
Good morning, Caroline.
So how did the equity markets close in New York last Friday?
It was quite an interesting close. A lot of volatility, but at the end of the session actually closed only up about 5 points. So a relatively subdued close for what I think should have been quite a volatile week.
How do you think our markets will react?
Well, I think today, I think it'd be, I guess most importantly, we'll see what happens with some of the data this week. But initially, I think the market will open just a small up, if unchanged. Last week, the market really did not a lot. In fact, it opened and closed about 10 points on the whole week. So I think pretty much most of this week, I think, will be the same.
Yeah, all the traders were complaining about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just not a lot of volatility there. And it's quite hard for traders because you basically put in your trading patterns on hold because the market's not reacting the way you think it should.
What were some hot and what were some cold, some ice, snowy, cold sectors?
I think at the end of the day, you know, this week we've got quite a lot on, and I think that's the focus. We've got the RBA meeting, so where we get a decision on interest rates. We've also got Chinese non-manufacturing and manufacturing data. But most importantly, we've got US non-farm payrolls. That happens towards the end of the week. Remember, we do have Independence Day on Friday, so that comes out on Thursday. So I think you'll find that the market will really try and look for some themes this week to grab onto, and I think a lot of that data should give some lead.
Any patterns jumping out from the charts?
Look, there isn't. I guess one of the interesting things which I'm focusing on is the BIS, the Bank of International Settlement, which is the central bank's banker, basically came out and said that we shouldn't get complacent about low interest rates. And they actually called for interest rates to move higher. So that might give a little bit of shift in the sentiment towards the trends for the market and might suggest that we might be in for interest rates, an interest rate cycle, which is really not favourable, i.e. interest rates moving higher over the course. But I think that's more longer term rather than short term, but it just might crystallise some sentiment for some traders.
Any opportunities you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I am. Tomorrow is quite interesting because basically we have the formations coming out of Iraq, formation of a new government. If that's the case, then the premium that we've seen in the oil market for some time might be reduced. And as a result of that, I'm looking to sell oil. So I guess if that comes out and they do form a government, then I think you'll find that oil will come under pressure. A breakthrough 105.50 is a key level for me because that was resistance on that move up to 107. So a break back below that will confirm a top of some magnitude and we could see oil trade sub 100 again.
Any advice for traders this week?
I think stick to your trends. Stick to your themes that you have. You know, as we said, there's some important data this week, but I would tend to just stick to the trends. If you feel the market's due for a correction, take some profits. If you feel that it's ready to break out on the top side, get ready to buy on that break. But at the moment, I think we're still in a holding pattern and there's really no signs yet that it's going to break out of it yet.
Jono, thanks for your time.
No problems, Caroline.
The world of FX trading has been shrouded in mystery until now. Our friends at Tradeology have developed a brand new indicator. Just go to talkingtrading.com.au, click on their advertisement and try it out for yourself. That's talkingtrading.com.au. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
I know you want to learn about the markets, but the temporary pain you need to go through affects not just you, but your kids too. You feel guilty for spending time away from your little ones. Your kids will always want you around more, but I'll tell you something, these beautiful little ones can tug at our heartstrings, but they're very much bottomless pits. Even though I only work at my little serviced office once a week so that I'm not home until dinner time, which is on a Tuesday, my little girl still complains that, oh, you're never home when I come home from school. And she whinges and whines and complains. By learning about the markets with your children watching, you are setting the example of work ethic. We need strong men and women for the next generation. We need them to witness our struggles, our focus, our skill development. We need to set the example for them. By watching us, they learn. And when their time comes and it's a choice for them to give up or push forward, they will choose push forward. They will have absorbed your struggles, your victories, your hard work, and they'll relate that to your successful outcome, and they'll duplicate that in their own lives. By your example, you are teaching them how to live their lives. While they watch you blossom into a trader, they will absorb what it takes to become a success. They will feel this echo from you and it will etch itself across their hearts. And you will have created the shining example of success that the next generation is sadly lacking right now. You are in a very responsible position. You are doing the right thing. I believe in you as a trader, but also as a parent. Continue your strive. Continue to struggle, fight. Continue to focus on your freedom and continue learning about the markets. No more excuses.
Last week's trading trivia question was, what is the Hemline Index? And trivia buff Earl Andrews was the first person again to write in with the correct answer. The Hemline Index is a theory presented by economist George Taylor in 1926. And the theory suggests that the hemlines on women's dresses rise along with stock prices. And in good economic times, we get such results as miniskirts, as seen in the 1960s. And in poor economic times, such as the 1929 Wall Street crash, hemlines can drop almost overnight. Non-peer-reviewed research in 2010 confirmed this correlation, suggesting that the economic cycle leads the hemline by about 3 years. And next week's trading trivia question is, where is the oldest stock exchange in the world? Find out the answer next time. Brian Keane is a savvy businessman with 3 decades of experience working in the franchise industry. His consultancy firm, the Franchise Alliance, was in all 6 states and New Zealand, and was home to iconic businesses such as Jim's Mowing and UltraTune. Brian now delivers step-by-step franchising systems through the internet and workshops called How to Franchise Simply, which allows small businesses to franchise simply and affordably. He's been around the block in business and has known the highs and the lows. He joins us today to discuss resilience and how to spring back from being smashed. Hi, Brian.
Hi there, Caroline. How are you?
So, Brian, what's the experience you're going to share with us?
I guess I'm going back quite a few years ago to the early 80s. I was in the building industry. had a development company and had speculative properties in Perth around the Swan River, and interest rates hit an exorbitant 23.5%. You couldn't sell property, so I had a change of career. Something I'd loved doing, didn't know what to do. I looked at all sorts of things, taxi businesses and all sorts. I ended up buying a franchise called Bedshed. It was one of the first retail bedsheds, part of a group rather like Captain Snooze that is now national. And I actually did really well. I ended up with 5 stores in 7 years and really enjoyed myself. But then, I suppose after that period of time, I became bored with it. So it was a bit too constraining for me. I'm a bit of a free sort of a wanderer, if you like. I decided to go and do something else. And I had confidence I could do anything.
So that was a success. But what if it isn't successful?
Yeah, I suppose this is more common with people in reality because we all hit bumps in the road. So if we take a case, I suppose about 20 years later, I was in a business where we took a company public, but I had the wrong people around me. I was a major shareholder and it basically imploded. Personalities were wrong. Everyone was there because they were trying to make a quick quid. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that it crashed. It shook me rigid because I'd had total confidence in not just my ability, but the whole organisation. And that was it. It ended up disintegrating. So that left me smashed.
Tell us more about that. Why? Tell us more details why it did smash.
Okay. I suppose I can do this now in reflection because I now understand myself a lot more since I've learned a lot in the meantime. But what happened was we tried to push too hard. We thought we knew what we needed to do. And I suppose at first, after that smash, where there was a clash of personalities, obviously wasn't going to work. I thought, well, I can go out there. I've done it before. This is one incident. And I tried another business and I had the same problem. It wasn't working. I then met an individual, was introduced to someone called Paul Blackburn, who runs an organization in Canberra called the Success Institute. And he looks at mindset. My wife, Prue, and I spent several weekends with him, and it was amazing what I found out about myself and the reasons that I was failing. There were several.
What were they?
Well, but basically, I was just doing this. I was driven by the money. So I didn't have anything in my heart. My passion wasn't there. But also, more so even than that, what I discovered was I came from a humble background on the outskirts of London. My parents had been through the Second World War and the Depression. They didn't expect anything more than they had. And they had the same expectations for me. If they'd seen me working behind the counter of the post office with a tie on, they would have considered I'd achieved a really fantastic outcome for my life. I was obviously too impatient for that, so I left the UK and so on. But that was actually came back into my subconscious in my middle age.
Your money script.
And I didn't realise it. Yeah, I didn't feel I deserved it. I didn't feel it was my place. So it was actually affecting me in that way that I just kept running into these brick walls and self-destructing.
So how did you shuck that subconscious belief?
Well, I really went through a process of I realised I needed to take a break. I needed to look at these things objectively and make them impersonal, these experiences, not hang them emotionally. And I needed to really look at my strengths or what have been my achievements, what have I done? And I'm fortunate. I've had lots of opportunity and had some really successful outcomes in life. I had my fair share of downers as well. It's almost inevitable. But what I recognised was that the opportunity is there and I deserve anything as much as anybody. You know, there's no reason why I shouldn't have the same successes. And once one starts to recognise that, then you start to have a different view of things. And this is what I found. I was then able to basically, I suppose, approach an exercise far more maturely and able to address it without hanging it on me. So I wasn't hanging any blame and I wasn't feeling constrained by these limitations that my dear parents, and I mean, it's not their fault. It was just the social environment of a very class-type society. So
what would you recommend to other people who find themselves in a similar position?
Well, I think we all need to get to know ourselves better. There's a very simple process you can do called a DISC profile.
Tell us DISC. About that.
You can get them free online. This is a psychological test. The sort of thing that a lot of employment agencies and larger companies and so on use, and it gives you a background of your type of character. And once you know the sort of character you are, I won't go into it all now, but if you're what they call a high D, means you're a driver, that's a typical entrepreneur. You get out and you do things and you run at 100 miles an hour. You need someone else behind you tidying up and providing support to the rest of your team because it's not your bag. So that's the sort of thing. But if you're like an S, you're a supporter, the chances of you being successful in business as an entrepreneur are very slim. And so you don't recognize it. If you're an S, you're trying to run a business, you're going to really battle because you're not assertive enough. You probably haven't got the self-confidence. You don't like networking. You know, you've got to be out there and to a degree somewhat gregarious if you're in business. Basically, you've got to know that and you've got to understand what other people's positions are with their characters. Because if you're looking at recruiting staff or having someone join you in a team, you need complementary people. We probably understand that, but we all have a habit of picking the people we like. No, that's one of the first mistakes that most people make. And I've made it to my cost, I suppose. And you just look back and say, wow, why did I do that? I spoiled a relationship. It was a good friend and it didn't work in business, you know, just like having family involved often.
One last pearl of advice for our listeners?
I suppose be objective. You know, don't make it personal. And don't think that you can't be successful just because you had a rough time and you've been smashed.
Brian Keane.
That's a good time to come back.
Thank you so much for your time.
That's a pleasure. Enjoyed it.
If you are in business and would like to find out if it's franchisable, go to Brian's website, howtofranchisesimply.com.au. Complete the free 4-minute questionnaire and receive your detailed report.
Most traders act like a little kid in the markets. They don't know that a great trading plan is their secret weapon.
Isn't it time you grew the f***ed up? Register on tradinggame.com.au and grab our free trading plan template. It's a sign of being a mature trader.
Coral Taylor is halfway through completing the mentor program and we caught up with her at the midpoint meeting to see how she was going with her goals in the program. Talking to Coral Taylor. Coral, what were your goals and objectives over the past 3 months in the mentor program and, more importantly, have you achieved them?
Look, my goals initially were to really understand what trading was. I'd traded very briefly 10 years ago without any education at all, and pretty much when I now read the mentor program resources, I did everything they tell you not to do. So,
like what?
Yeah. Oh, I bought a share on a hot tip, and the hot tip came to fruition, and I made a big swag of money. So then I thought I was a genius and I knew what I was doing. So then I opened up a ComSec account and day traded in and out with lots of little profits, and I thought it was fantastic, but then the market fell over and basically I lost everything I started with. I pyramided on the way down. I did all of those things that I now understand were so wrong. So for me, I walked away then, you know, this is 10 years ago, and thought I would never trade again.
Here you are.
Yeah, I know. Look, my motivation was I just wanted to be in control of my own destiny and not always be reliant upon an employer for an income, but to do something for myself. What I've really loved is the way things are explained in really simple terms. So somebody like me who knows nothing about the market can really grasp the concepts and understand. And every time Louise writes a little picture, you know, be it on a blackboard or whatever, I love it because to me a picture paints 1,000 words. So you can understand the concepts.
What are your goals over the next 3 months?
Well, now I've reached the point where I think, you know, you don't actually realise how much you have learned until you do this course for 3 months, and then you reread something in a book and you go, oh, I get it. Oh, I really understand it. My goals for the next 3 months now are to build on that sort of solid base that I think I've got from the first 3 months, but also my understanding, and, you know, at the moment I don't know, but I sort of understand that the next 3 months will be fairly intense, and particularly when you start talking about doing options.
Your big why for becoming a trader, your aspirations for doing this, is it bigger than ever?
Oh yes, and I'm so motivated to achieve that. You know, to be in control of my own destiny and do this for myself and my family and my extended family, which probably includes friends as well. I also have a particular friend who, she is my charity that I support. This remarkable young Australian girl who is running the most amazing programs for children in Cambodia. You know, I would love to be in the position to help her more than we do now.
Coral, best of luck with your training.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Brian Keane, Louise Bedford, Jonathan Barrett and Coral Taylor. Stay tuned next week for Lady Louise Bedford again, talking about trading and procrastination. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.